Hello, everyone. We are going to do some coaching today. So this is your losing 100 pounds call, which means that everybody on this call is actively seeking to lose 100 or more pounds. We're going to do some special coaching. This is your subgroup call. One of the things I wanted to talk about today that I think that gets in the way of, like I was sitting there, I was actually listening to something this morning. They were teaching, and I was thinking about when I was losing my 100 pounds, what was one of the things that really made a difference for me? And it really was thinking more from my future self versus thinking from my past failures. So let me just explain a little bit of that, because I've been real big on that for a long time with all of you. And I think that one of the things that I see is that when you have a lot of weight to lose, sometimes it's hard to really understand that concept, because you think your future self is so far away. You think your future self will take forever to get there, that you're so different than that person, all kinds of things. And so I was like looking back thinking, okay, I know I had all of that thinking. So what was it that made it to where I could tap into it? And it was literally each day thinking about, and I had done this for a long time. So this is one of the things I want all of you to understand. Hang on one second, Chris, I'm getting internet is unstable. Let me just make sure. If y'all have any problems, will you let me know over in the chat? I am out of town. So I'm actually in Las Vegas and I'm lagging a little. You're freezing up. Okay. Hang on. I'll get back to it in just a second. Let me pause the recording. All right, we're back to recording. All right, we're just going to make do, y'all. We're going to do as good as we can. If this call ends up going janky, then I will, Yesenia, you might want to let Betsy know, batter up for the next call, because we just definitely do not want, we don't want some janky. All right, so I was going, let me go back to what I was talking about. So let me just recap super fast. One of the things that's important for all of you to be able to lose your weight is to be able to put yourself in your future self's shoes. And when you have a lot of weight to lose, I know your thinking gets in the way of doing that. You think you can't, but it's rare. Like I look back on my own, on my own time when I was losing weight, I always was thinking about if I lost weight, here's the things I would do. Here are all the things I can't stand not being able to do at my weight. I would think about, I just think about how I just casually talked about losing weight. Now, I constantly had the same story that most of you have, which is, it's hard for me. It may never happen, all that stuff. But my brain also had the other side. I think I just was afraid to listen to it, but it was in there. It was unconsciously in there. So one of the things that I would ask all of you to do is to think a lot more about just listening to the moments when you are thinking, if only I could lose weight, I would do this. I hate that I can't do this at my weight. Just listen for those moments. That's the path to what your future self is trying to tell you as to what it is that they really want, what it is that they see themselves being and doing one day. So when I started losing weight, I had all my garbage. It wasn't that all of a sudden my brain turned on to, I'm doing this, I'm figuring this out, nothing will get in my way. That is not how it happened. What I did have, though, was a moment of clarity when I was sitting with Logan, and it just felt like a lot of things collided all at once. Everything that I didn't like about my life was staring me in the face. I couldn't get off the couch at 10 a.m. in the morning to play with my own child. I was too tired. I was being the mom that I swore growing up I would never be. I hated that my mom couldn't play with me. She was always so tired from working jobs, but in my mind, it meant I wasn't important. It meant that I didn't have a good childhood. I didn't have a family like everybody else. And so I was, I spent my growing up years swearing I would not be that person. And then here I was sitting there, not being able to play with my own kid because of my weight. So it wasn't that moment sparked all kinds of motivation. I never had a moment of self-doubt ever again. I just hit a moment where I had thought about my life so much that I decided I was willing to figure it out, and I was just willing to take it one day at a time. And I thought about my future self more than I thought about my past self. And let me tell you how it worked for me. Like, I remember thinking that I would just give anything if I could be an athlete like my brother. I'd give anything if I could exercise like my friends. That was me. Like, I think sometimes we mistake our whining about our current life as if it's like, that's not you doing future self work. That is you doing future self work. That's you knowing what's not good enough anymore for yourself, but also knowing there's something else out there for you. So that all counts. So I sit there and I think about it and I'm like, the first day that I decided to get off the couch and go for a walk, that was me showing up like my future self. The only thing I had, like, I just needed to take some action. I knew that if one day I was going to be an exerciser or something, I was like, you know what? That means like today I'm going to have to get off the couch when I don't want to. Like, if I really want to be that person one day, that means today I got to stop listening to my excuses and letting them be more powerful than the things that I don't like about my life, and letting them be more powerful than the things that I want for myself one day. And I think what didn't get in my way that I watch a lot of you do is, and diet culture teaches you this, and it's everywhere, is that we see afters all the time, and we see like what life looks like when you've lost weight. It's very hard for your brain to make the connection that today, in order to be the after, in order to be that version, there are small things that must change today. What are those small things? And I knew that one of my first steps was, if I one day want to be an exerciser, today I have to convince myself to take 15-minute walks when I don't think it's good enough, when I don't see the point, when I think that I'm so out of shape, all I can do is start with a 15-minute walk. When all of that started up, I would tell myself, the only way that I allowed myself to talk about my past was in this way. The old you thought that. The version of us who's losing our weight doesn't. The version of us who loses their weight is not sitting around saying these self-loathing things. The version of us who loses weight starts. It's always about the version of us who loses weight starts. And I just wanted to say that because I think a lot of you are waiting for the voices to go away, the self-loathing to go away and stuff. They don't go away unless you start showing up different. Those voices need something different to talk about. But if you just keep like living like the voices are in your head, why would they go away? They're getting confirmation that this is what we do. This is how we want to live. So why would your brain ever, ever, ever want to change the conversation? And I think that that's key. The same thing happened with my food. I knew that there was going to be a version of me one day that ate a lot better than the version of me on day one. That she probably cooked because I didn't cook at all. She didn't overeat anymore because I overeat every meal, went past full and plus some, couldn't wait to eat. The version of me that there was like, I knew that like in my mind, I wanted to be someone that could go out to eat and not eat all the things. Like there was all these things. So that meant that on day one, the version of me that wanted to overeat all the time, it wasn't that I was shutting it down. I had to like sit there and listen to myself, say bad things to myself and say also, but can we just do this? What's a little bit better? The first versions of me, and I mean, I'm going to say I lost 50 pounds probably being the version who just really stayed focused on, I knew that if I was ever going to get to my future self, if I ever was going to lose my weight, it was going to be because I quit going to my past to figure out what was wrong with me. And I quit going to my past as the reason, like, well, I'm not going to do this because I've never been able to do that. Or this probably won't work because the last time. I knew that that part had to end. So I couldn't wait for those voices to stop. But what I had to do was get really good at saying, no, that's how you used to think. And today, this is how we think. So for every time that I would tell myself, this probably isn't good enough, I would tell myself, no, here's what's the real story. What's not good enough is sitting here doing nothing. That's what's not good enough. Just going back to what you always do is not good enough. So I don't care what you do, bitch, but do something a little bit better than you did yesterday. That's how it works. That's why it's so important. And I think it's even more important when you have more weight to lose because, you know, it's not that you're like, and this is what I want you to hear me when I say this. Your journey is no harder than anyone else's. It is not helpful to think that. I want all of you to please remember that. There was not a day that went by in my life that when I thought my life was worse, my journey's harder, any of that. It was so wrapped in self-loathing. It felt so bad. It made every step 20 times harder than it had to be. You cannot afford to think that way. And when you try to sit there and just compare your journey to other people, like, well, mine's harder and here's why, you have to stop it. And you have to say, no, you know what it is? I have a journey. I have a path. I have things I got to do. That's all that's got to happen. I don't have to think it's harder. I don't have to think it's easier either. I just need to think there's just steps. And I got to be with that, even when I don't want to be with that. So I just kind of wanted to start today off with just a few special words to all of you. I just don't want you giving up. Giving up is the easiest thing to do and the most detrimental thing you can do for yourself. Giving up will always seem sexy. Most of the time, we're giving up for no good reason. We think we, at the bottom of giving up is, I want to quit because I keep being hard on myself. That's really what you're doing. Like, I want you to think about it. Your ability to make mistakes, your ability to doubt and also calm yourself down in the moment, that's going to be what you have to learn. We don't give up because, like, well, planning is hard. It's like, no, we tell ourselves a story that planning is hard because every time we don't eat our plan, we go so ham on ourselves. We talk so terribly to ourselves. It's not that planning is hard. Is that showing up for planning when you talk to yourself like an asshole? Now that's hard. So don't give up on planning and don't quit on yourself because every time you quit, you get dopamine releases. You get rewarded for the quit. Your brain, I want you to think about the last time you quit something. You breathed a sigh of relief. Your brain thinks that quitting is such a good thing. But most of us, what we're doing is we're quitting because we're afraid. And our fears are fake. There's real fear where someone's got a gun on you. Your house is being taken away from you. Those are real threats and fears. But most of us are living our lives according to the fears that are fake. I'm afraid of what they'll think. I'm afraid I'll fail. We have all these fake fears, and you use the fake fears as a reason to quit. And to get dopamine. And then it becomes a cycle. Because a lot of you like to get started. Because when you get started, you get a dopamine hit of hope. You get a dopamine hit of something new and something exciting. And then the moment you hit the rough patch, where you're hitting the mistakes you're supposed to make, you're like, every mistake is the next thing that you've got to solve. But with each mistake, if tons of self-loathing comes behind it, guess what? You'll want to quit to get the dopamine hit of relief. So fix the languaging. Fix how you talk to yourself. Ask yourself, in the hard moments, does my future self talk like this to herself? Because if she doesn't, I don't need to now. I just need to tell myself, bitch, learn something. Take a step forward. The best way to become the future self is to start behaviorally acting like that person, which means if the future self isn't like talking terrible to herself, that means you today has to listen really hard for every moment that you do and stop it and correct it. So let's do a little coaching. You can raise your hand if you want coaching. And then we'll get going. Pam, you're up first. Aren't these the fanciest bottles of Evian you've ever seen? They look like I'm turning up champagne. Well, let's see. All right, so Pam did not want to get coaching. She declined. Let's go with Brenda. If you don't want to get coaching, just lower your hand so that I don't try to keep calling on you. Hey, you cut your hair.
I did. I did. I've got it wrapped up, but I did cut my hair off. Oh my gosh. That's so sweet. If you remember,
I have a memory. Like I always remember the strangest things.
All good. I'm so happy to be here. I didn't expect you to, I literally, when you said raise your hand, I raised my hand. I was like, oh, like 80 people have raised it. Cause I just got on. So thank you. I'm so excited. So, I have a thought that I recognize, but it feels so true in the moment. It usually comes after lunch many days, after dinner most days, rarely after breakfast, which is, I'm still hungry. Or it's like, I'm not satisfied, right? And it feels so true in the moment. And I've, you know, part of, I sometimes have this internal debate with myself of like, I've been working to honor my hunger signals. Part of the old diet mentality is like not feeling like I shouldn't eat when I'm hungry. And so then I'm like, well, if I'm hungry, then I should eat. I get to eat. And then I feel like, but am I like, I feel like I'm sitting in a state of confusion for myself, which is not helpful. And like, I'm trying to coach myself out of it. But most days I'm like, I don't feel satisfied. And then I just go eat food.
So when you think I don't feel satisfied, what's next? Are you having the internal debate or not?
Sometimes it is like immediately, usually it's salty stuff. I've got almonds in my hand or popcorn in my hand or, you know, tortilla chips in my hand. And then afterwards I'm like, I'm debating if I really needed to eat that. And sometimes I'm pausing in the moment and asking, am I really hungry? And I'll like drink a cup of water. And then sometimes I do still feel hungry. And then sometimes I don't, but I would say, 8 times out of 10, the automatic happens first and I'm eating before I'm thinking.
So what you're saying is it's starting to work because sometimes you are pausing.
Is that what I'm saying? It doesn't feel that way at home, Corinne.
It doesn't feel that way because you're thinking 8 out of 10 isn't good enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whereas before you were 10 out of 10, never catching it. You probably just believed your bullshit completely.
Yeah.
So what do you think the solve is?
To keep listening and to keep challenging myself, to stop judging.
Yeah. It's the stopping of the judging of the process. And I think this is key because this is what I watch people do all the time is that like, it's almost like we have this mental construct that once I understand I should honor my hunger and stop it enough, I should be done with this, right? Like we're just going to turn the spigot on. That's not how it works.
Yeah.
Like there's several things that have to get unwound in order for a new behavior to basically become the version of you. So one is, you have like, there's this thing. So we teach two things inside of NoBS. One is cognitive behavioral therapy, which is like, this is all the thought work stuff. So like when we're talking about, figuring out why are you not satisfied? you know, like, why do you want to keep eating? And that's one thing that you can chase down while you're working on this. Like, the first thing you have to do is drop the judgment and have to realize if your brain is waking up, your brain is waking up. It just takes a while for it to wake up all the time.
Yeah.
So, like, so one of the things that we do is we do the cognitive, but there's also something called behavioral, I think it's behavioral action therapy or something like that, but it's like the other side, which is the more that you act like the person you want to be, the more your brain tries to catch up to that version, because your brain really is trying a lot of times to formulate thoughts around how you're showing up. So it's always like, if you think about your mind, it's always telling a story. It's always telling a story. And if you start acting very different than the person that you have been, that you like think you are, your brain starts trying to create a mental construct around these new actions. So for you, it's like you've started to like, all right, I'm really going to pay attention now and I'm going to start questioning it. And now what's happened is now that I'm really paying attention to my hunger cues, I now notice that sometimes I pause, sometimes I don't, but I know that it's this idea of I'm not satisfied. So on the days where you eat and you are satisfied, do you, well, you didn't even say if you did this. On the days when you know that you've had enough food, do you stop eating?
Yes.
Pretty consistently there?
Yes.
Okay. So I don't think that you really have an issue of just for all of you who don't, let me just say this. If you catch the thought, I'm satisfied, and you're like, okay, I'm going to like check in. And if you're like, you know what? I am satisfied. I'm just going to like get along with my day, blah, blah, blah. You don't need to do anything else. But if you're just like, no, I just keep eating, then that's when you would want to chase down. Okay. Why? Like, what is it that in this habit and in this pattern, if I choose to keep eating, what feeling am I trying to create? What feeling am I trying to avoid? Or what's coming up next that I'm just trying to put like a buffer between me and that? And sometimes what we use food as a motivator, like, okay, I finally ate enough. I finally did all this stuff. Now I can go back to work, or now I can like do this next thing. So it's just looking for those kinds of things. But what it sounds more like to me is that your brain just has to get more used to stopping and pausing.
Mm-hmm. What I wrote down when you were talking is I'm a person who pauses sometimes when I think I'm not satisfied. Like that resonates with me. Like, and I, maybe one of those things that goes in a post-it on the cupboard with the almonds.
Yeah.
Like I pause sometimes, and I it is about creating space. And what you just said, that was a part of my journey. Mm-hmm. You've coached me before on resting, right?
Right.
Every day I plan rest in my planner. I put a little box and I'm like, what does rest look like? I often make a model around rest, particularly mm-hmm. if I have like a meeting that ends at 7:30 or 8 and I know I'm going to come in the house and like, I visualize what that looks like. So I this was good, like affirmation of, you know, journey, process, progress.
One thing you can do, and I think that especially if you are like for me, I would put sticky notes all over food, all over my house, and I wouldn't give a damn what the boys thought. And like, especially if they asked me, I'd be like, I'll tell you exactly what that means. Wow. You know, like it doesn't bother me. I know some of you don't really like, having your weight loss display all over the place. But if you have trigger foods or like foods that are like, you know, just your convenient foods, that those are the ones you normally do, you can just put a sticky note literally on each one of those and just be like, are you sure?
Mm-hmm.
I know that sounds crazy, but our brain needs as many, like, it's, if you think about how the brain works, its job is to be very automatic and fast. I mean, your brain is not only trying to keep up with your heart rate and your lungs and everything else, but it's also trying to take in your environment. Like visually, it has to know not to trip over things. I mean, your brain juggles a lot of stuff. And I think that we just don't realize that the reason why it's going to make like just going automatically to almonds in your brain's mind, it's like, bitch, you always eat almonds. Why would I ever sit and think about that? Why am I pausing now? Like, we've been doing this for years. Yeah. And then we get mad because we hear one lesson from Corinne. And then we're like, why am I not automatically stopping? Your brain is like, I'm busy. Like, cut me some slack.
Yes.
So having those triggers helps your brain say like, oh yeah, we're supposed to be pausing. Or like, did you put that there for a reason? I mean, that is not a weakness. That is not a crutch. That is not anything other than understanding how powerful your brain is.
Yeah.
And knowing that it's some of the simplest hacks in the world can help you practice those new behaviors. You won't always have to have a sticky note on almonds. You'll get to the point to where your brain associates seeing almonds with a question, like, are we really hungry? It'll fall into that habit eventually. And so you can do that with foods. And then once that happens, you can start, you know, like even for me, I was telling my friend Jane the other day, all these years, 15 years of maintaining my weight, I would say the last man standing on the habit was cleaning my plate. I still to this day want to clean that plate. And it has not been until the last few months. Like, I'm always working on myself to where my brain now suggests leaving food before it wants to eat all the food. And I've been able to lose all my weight. I've been able to, for 15 years, clean my plate way more times than I ever needed to. Like, I lost the weight doing that. Like, it is, but it was never one of those behaviors that I felt overly compelled to work on.
Yeah.
And then I finally was like, I'm getting older. Like, what age is it going to be to where I realize that food's not going anywhere? Like, I'm okay. And that was what was the main motivator for me was, like, I'm 47. I don't have to keep cleaning my plate just because at 10, we didn't have enough. And so, but I mean, it's literally taken all this time, all this practicing, sometimes it working, sometimes it not, sometimes I'm caring, sometimes I'm not, all that stuff. And this last 6 months, I was telling everybody, I was like, I have left more food behind in the last 6 months than I think I have in a lifetime. Mm-hmm. So it just takes a while, but I think you're doing fine. It's just understanding that if you're starting to already pause and catch yourself sometimes, that means your brain is waking up to it. It doesn't mean like you get to look at it as 2 out of 10 times I'm starting, or 8 out of 10 times I'm failing.
Yeah. Yeah. And that is one of my, like, you know, old thought errors. I know better, I should do better. So
yes,
this like knocks right on the door of that. So thank you. I really thought you were going to be like, all right, here's a challenge. Just throw that shit out. Like, of course, that's, you know, no, that's not what happened. So
not when you're, you didn't have a big baggage story right now. If you were just like, but the almonds, they remind me of my childhood. If you're doing all that, I'd probably be like, get them almonds out of your house.
Thank you, Corinne.
You're welcome. It's okay. Good seeing you, Brenda. Let's see. All right. I don't know why all of a sudden I can't figure out how to get Brenda down. I think Zoom has moved. Brenda, see if you can lower yourself. This the option to take you down as panelist is officially missing.
Okay. Let me see.
Everybody says they don't see Brenda now. Yeah, see if you've got it on yours.
I turned my camera off, so maybe that's why they don't see me, but I'm still up on the thing as a
yeah,
as
a, like it's so strange, but the hang on a second, y'all. Let me pause the recording. We're gonna get this done today. Yeah, it's like Yesenia, for some reason, we might want to take a look, but the even when April's up, there's no option to lower her to panelists or anything. Okay. Oh, wait. I figured out how I can do it. I can move it to gallery view. Okay. All right. April, sorry about that. I had to take care of some business.
Okay. Thank you. I feel like there's so much I want to say. First, thanks for taking my question. But just recently, so I just started enjoying No BS in September. And it was, you know, I'm doing the 24-hour plans and I start waking up early before work to walk, which is just not, I'm not a morning person and all this thing, all the things. And so then I got married on October 2nd. And essentially from that point on with our trip and just life, I kind of stopped making the plans and I wasn't walking and definitely feeling like I have over 100 pounds to lose and definitely feeling a little, definitely self-talk was very negative. So this morning at breakfast, I made a comment on how I haven't been doing it. And he's like, well, I'll do the dishes and you just watch a video. And I did that and I made a plan, but he made a comment that like, in things in general, I get very focused and I'm driven and then I get very derailed easy. So my concern is now that I'm aware and I'm trying to get back on my path, I'm going away again on our honeymoon to Disney next week.
So, oh my gosh, did I read your post in Facebook this morning?
I did post.
Okay, all right. I was like, this story sounds so familiar.
You read it. Thanks.
Yes, I did read it.
Yeah.
Congratulations on getting married.
Thank you. It's really exciting. My concern now is he's absolutely right. And I thought about it and throughout life, I'll do good and something will happen in life, an event or a tragedy or whatever. And I just leave for so long. So I do not want, I know trips and tragedies and
life
in general will keep coming. So I know I have to figure out a way to still continue on doing the things that I feel are important, but I'm just not really quite sure.
Well, you tell me, you're going to Disney. Let's take the Disney trip as an example.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but when do you leave?
We leave Thursday morning.
So between now and Thursday, what are you going to be doing each day for your weight loss?
I'm going to make the 24-hour plans. When I have those, that's really helpful. I also found that's part of what I didn't do it for a while because we went away on a different mini trip. And I thought I had no real idea how to. I'm such a habit of tracking on my Fitness Pal and calories and stuff. So,
all right, we got to break that behavior. Number one, that's not part of no BS.
Right. And I still have been doing both.
Yeah. And look how it's not working for you.
Right.
Because if you're, this is the problem with when we don't listen to our body and we listen to my Fitness Pal and we go on a vacation and we don't have exact measurements of like the things, guess what happens? We have no way, like in our mind, it's like, well, I can't lose weight because I can't get my calories and stuff, when that is such a bogus lie. No one needs a calorie app in order to lose weight.
I am struggling with that part for sure.
Well, let's just stop struggling with it and throw it out. What will it take you to throw it away? Okay. And let me just tell you, I would delete the app because there's nothing in there for you. Because you don't even have to, like, if you were to tell me, well, I have 1,263 straight days of tracking, I could see why it would be hard to let it go. But you're like, no, I have this app that the second I have life happen, I can't use it.
Right.
I mean, you just told me that.
Mm-hmm.
So you're ready to cry. So obviously, deleting my Fitness Pal is emotional. Why?
I've struggled with my weight since I was young.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely there's a lot of addiction in my family and it's definitely mine. I didn't do drugs or alcohol or anything like that, but I definitely use food to cope and all of that stuff. So I've worked so hard and I don't binging and I found Jean's thing recently and I start watching some of those videos, but I used to eat McDonald's like twice a day and it was really, really bad. So I've changed so much in such a positive way, but still being over 300, I feel like without seeing if I'm over calories, that it's just never. Sorry.
Never apologize for crying.
I'm just definitely very scared that I'll never actually, I'm 40. I'm going to be 46 next month, and I'm definitely very scared that I'll just always be over 300, and I just don't want that for myself.
Right. But there's so many ways to lose your weight that have, like, there's not one thing you've told me that MyFitnessPal is helping you with. MyFitnessPal does not keep you from binging. Do you know what keeps you from binging? Working on the reasons why you binge in the first place. MyFitnessPal is not helping with that. MyFitnessPal also doesn't help you build trust with your body. When you binge eat, a lot of times, like when you have so much fear around not being able to lose weight, it's because you don't trust yourself and you don't trust your body. MyFitnessPal, all it does is foster the fear. It adds gas to that, to that inferno. It's like, but your body doesn't know. This app knows. I don't know dick. If you want to trust your body, you have to learn how to listen to your body. You have to go through being afraid of that part. You have to make some mistakes and stuff until you figure that part out. Same thing with like trusting if you're going to lose weight. Counting calories doesn't build trust with yourself. Building trust with yourself starts with learning what the language you use. Like, I've always been overweight. I'm turning 46 and I've never been able to do it. That doesn't build trust with yourself. That's when I first started this whole thing, I was talking about that whole future self thing. Your future version of you who loses her weight doesn't go back and talk about all the years that she couldn't do it. She's never talking about that part because it's not useful to her story. And it, all of you, it will feel like it's useful now and it's not. Like, I want you to think about every time you think about the 46 years that you've not been able to lose weight and that you're addicted, addiction runs in my family and food was my thing. How does all of that feel?
Just horrible and hopeless.
Right. Right. That doesn't help you lose weight. Feeling horrible and helpless. Now let me go do some stuff for myself. That's not how it works. Horrible and helpless is why we typically will turn to food.
Yes.
So it's like thinking about for you, you know, and probably one of the reasons why you find yourself like life happens, like I'll quit planning. Probably in that moment when you quit planning, there's something that kickstarts in your brain, which is a loop of I'm 46 and never been able to lose weight. This is never going to happen for me. We have addiction in our family. Like that story is probably what's kickstarted each time that you're making a mistake. So for you to lose weight, we have to learn how to make the mistakes. We have to learn how to like have off days or off times or off moments and not make it mean the past is recreating itself. We have to make it mean this is the part I learn how to take the next best step towards the future. I really, you do not have to get rid of MyFitnessPal if you don't want to. It's always a choice.
Yeah.
But I do want you, like, do you journal? Do you journaling?
I've started that since joining. I've never been one to. I was always afraid to journal, actually. Just to see everything in writing is a lot sometimes. But I have done it a few times, and it has been helpful in processing certain things. So I do want to get to the point where that's a regular thing for me. And I do want, that's one of the things that I like about the program with this is that I do want to be that person that can just not have to track calories and just know when I'm full or satisfied and it's enough or I'm having something, so I'm choosing to have it to my plan and I can have a little or whatever. And I don't want to be ruled by that.
So if that's your future, so let me ask you this. If the future version of you is not tracking calories and like she's got a relationship with herself where it's like, I know when I'm hungry, I know when I've had enough. The future version of you is learning like, all right, learning how to stop, learning how to like do all the things. What is you today? What's her first step got to be then?
I think I really do have to think about why I'm so fearful to delete it when I do know that I can do this. I do know. The first, I was told about you, I think 2 years ago, and I was like, no, it doesn't sound like my kind of thing. She curses a lot. This and the other. By the way, I love the cursing. But, and it was just one day back in September and I was driving to work and I was stuck in traffic. I'm like, let me try the podcast. And instantly I knew like, this is, I knew I needed to do this journal work. I knew I needed to ask these questions. I know it's so many years that I have to process these feelings and thoughts I've been saying to myself. But it's also a lot to do and realize and trust. It is a lot about trusting myself, knowing what I used to do. And I do try to tell myself, like, you're not that, I'm not even that person anymore. Like I said, I would go to McDonald's in the morning, I'd get it on the way home from work, then I'd go home and eat dinner. Like, it was just a really unhealthy lifestyle. And I eat much better now, and I don't do those things, but I still will overeat, and I still will binge in certain situations.
Well, and that's okay. And that's what I want you to really, like, this is what you're going to have to grapple with, which is hard for a lot of people, which is, we call it the good and bad. All humans have good and bad things about themselves, about life. It's just the way the world works. But when it, like, I notice in weight loss, one of the things that happens is we get very caught up in, I'm either good or bad, instead of understanding there are good and bad things. And a lot of times they're happening together. And in weight loss, like, I want you to think about this. Can you go from, like, when you overeat and stuff, making that just, see, this is terrible, I'll never lose weight, like going like very self-loathing on it, instead of saying like, this is just the parts that I haven't figured out yet. This is the harder parts. This is the parts that I've got to work on. And I'm also very unlike I used to be. I have made progress in these areas. That's the thing that we have to really, it's like, it's not that you're like anybody is good or bad. It's that we're good and bad at times. Mm-hmm. And on the way to losing weight, you're always, it's just like with, I was telling Brenda, you know, I've been at it for 15 years. Mm-hmm. And there's still good and bad with Corinne.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I exercise, I do these things, blah, blah, blah. And I often clean my plate when I'm damn sure not hungry anymore. And hell, Friday night, I drank as if I was a koi fish in a pond. Like, we came in ready to party. And the next thing I knew, I was just like drinking and drinking. Every plan I'd made for day one was thrown out the window by about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So it's not like I could easily think about it as, see, I'm never going to be able to stick to my drink plan. See, I'm never blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, I've made so much progress on not over drinking and blah, blah, blah. And sometimes I still do. So what do you want to do on Saturday? We ended up not drinking at all Saturday.
Right.
But if I had just felt really terrible about myself all day Friday, and then woke up feeling really terrible about myself on Saturday, I probably would have started drinking because I would have thought, fuck it, I've already messed up, yeah, might as well. That's why we have to really watch, and we have to like play with the whole idea of there's just parts of you right now. And when I say bad, don't take it as like a bad child. It's like when we talk about the good and the bad, it's like the good is all the progress you've made. The good is joining No BS. The good is realizing, you know, maybe this MyFitnessPal is more of a, like, I think it's providing me safety and I'm still afraid. Yes. Like, I think that's one of the things for you to be thinking about. So that's why I wanted you to journal on MyFitnessPal. Yeah. Because what I want you to think about is, if it's making me feel safe, why am I still so fucking afraid? Because it's not. It's just something I'm afraid to let go of, you know, and you could, if you don't want to delete your app, the reason why I suggest deleting, because you can always reinstall it. I'm sure they're not going to get rid of your account. No. The reason why I say delete the app is so that every time you pull up your phone, it's not looking at you and inviting you to, you know, like, ooh, you sure you don't want to try it? Like just removing, like, it's like, say like, I just for 30 days, it's a no. Like if I really want to be the kind of person who eats according to their body, trusts themselves and stuff, that means the version of me today has to do something really scary, which is let go of something that I know intellectually is not making me feel better. I'm still scared of food, even if I'm tracking it. I'm still scared of these things, even if I know the stuff. And that's that whole idea of, you know, like thinking about who you ultimately want to be is what you want to allow yourself to start. The hardest part about becoming who you want to be is facing your fears, facing the fear that you can't get there, facing the fear of all that. And it's like, it's okay. Let the fear be there. But think about, but if I wasn't afraid, what would I be doing? And whatever those answers are, start trying to act like that person, knowing I'm just afraid. I'm just afraid that it won't happen. But that doesn't mean I shouldn't do it. It just means I'm afraid it won't happen. Mm-hmm. So let's get back to, I will tell you, I'm just going to, so we can get one more person in.
Yeah.
When it comes to getting back on plan, the one thing that I want you to know is that it is very normal for every single human, including your husband. And I think he was just being very observant over your patterns and helping you. So I don't think that your husband was bad at spotlighting this, but even your husband, everybody has the same pattern, which is we get really focused on something. And the first time we make a mistake or the first time something doesn't go right, most humans just stumble through it. We're not designed to just like be like, boop, autocorrect, let's go. We're not a GPS, you know? So it's very normal for you to, like if you stop planning, it's very normal for your brain to say like, why are we going to start that again? Mm-hmm. Like it's just not going to want to restart. And that's what you need to understand. It's not a flaw in you. It's not something is wrong with you. It's not like it's just a pattern of behavior to be aware of that you have, like most people. And then to come up with an action plan of when I catch myself, here's what I'm going to do. And like the first thing is listen for, it'll be so hard to restart. Listen for, it'll take so much time. Listen for, you always do this. Like for all of you, the first, like a lot of you want to just start to like, just start making the plan again. I think the first thing is to listen to your bullshit excuses, write them down on a piece of paper of the things that you typically tell yourself. And then you need to give yourself on a piece of paper. But here's what we want to think instead. Here's what we know to really be true. Here's why it's important to restart anyway. And you write all that out so that each time you at least have a blueprint that you can go back and read first and be like, see, I knew this was coming. I knew my brain would offer all this up. And in my reasoning, conscious brain, I told this is the reality over here. This is just smoke and mirrors that my brain's using to get me to not do. This is the real truth. So that's one of the benefits of writing it all down. And the other thing is that the more you write it down, the more your brain starts opening up to the idea that there's not just what you've always told yourself is the truth. Like your 46 years of being overweight is not the truth. Yeah. It feels true. You got evidence. You probably got weigh-ins in MyFitnessPal for years that will tell you how much you weighed and all kinds of stuff. But what the truth is today, I want to be different. That gets to be equally or more important of a truth than what you can tell me about your history.
Yeah.
So after you do that, then you come up with, when I catch myself not making plans, I make sure that the very next morning I schedule time on my, I wake up 15 minutes early. I sit down with the plan. I don't care what I write on the plan, but I do make one. I teach my brain, we are going to make plans and we're always going to get back on track. This is how we roll. And then the plan can get more evolved after you've restarted, but the restart of the planning does have to start. So the other thing that I would do this week, if I was you, is before you go on vacation, is I would decide in Disney, why not just make a daily plan of what you know you can do.
I know you have another person. I'm so sorry.
I'll get to her. Well, I've only got one more. So
I am curious, and I do want to, I've decided I'm bringing my planner with me, and this is a commitment I'm going to do. I am unsure of how to plan for there are two restaurants I know we're going to, and I have looked those up, and I'm going to write that down, but I don't really know how the day is going to go in terms of anything else. So I'm not sure what to write down.
Have you listened to module 4 yet of No BS?
I just finished this morning the brief, your thoughts.
That's module 2. Okay. If you'll just go over to module 4, you can go, I'm going to give you permission to go out of order.
Okay.
In module 4, there is a video on vacations and all that kind of stuff, like how you plan for all that. Because the whole point is we, Vern, I know you're here, and I know you're here probably to enjoy yourself, but Vern's on our team. And Yesenia's here, so anybody that wants to. I think in Basics 2.0, there is also another call about vacations and stuff. So it's like a 2.0 version of it. Will y'all just put in the, Yesenia and them said that there's a video and they'll grab it. Y'all include it in the show notes too, because I'm talking about it. But you can watch those two videos, but here's just the key. It will never hurt you to plan for the day, and plans are always all about one thing, deciding ahead of time how you want to show up for yourself.
Right.
Like you do. Like when we're here, I never know where we're going to eat. Sometimes we're going to eat in a poker room. Sometimes we're going to eat room service. So like every now and then we'll decide to go out to eat at the last minute. Like we just don't make a lot of plans, but I do always come in with a plan of, how many drinks I want to have. Sometimes I will decide, like, I know these are the kinds of drinks I'll allow myself for the day, but I won't start drinking until this time, and I'll for sure cut off at this time. Just like yesterday, my plan was no drinks. When I woke up and I didn't feel so great from the day before and I was tired and I knew I had this call today, I just decided we can have a good time today. I'm not drinking. I'm drinking kombucha and water, and that's what I'm going to do. And so that worked. But like sometimes we come and I'll say, I can drink as much as I want between 3 and 11. And you can have wine and vodka. That's my plan. My food plan might be, if we order room service, we don't order bread baskets because they always want to bring us complimentary bread for some reason. This particular hotel that we check in, they always have, I swear to God, every single time they have this big dessert tray laid out for us.
Yeah.
I guess they don't know who I am, but they always have a dessert tray in our room when we first check in, just Jack and a bottle of red wine. And so I make a deal with Chris at the beginning of the year. That's Logan's desserts. I'm not going to be eating the dessert tray because it's like little chocolates and macaroons and all kinds of stuff. And I like stuff like that. But when I'm on vacation, I'm like, is that important? Is the free desserts in the room because we're like, we come so often, is that important? And it's like, no, that's not important.
Right.
But if we go, like I always have on, like, in fact, last night we combed at this hotel looking for a blondie. I was like, I had decided, like I've always said that I will have a blondie. It's my favorite dessert of all time. I was like, if we can find a restaurant that has a blondie, that's what I want to have for dinner tonight. Mm-hmm. We could not find it. So I didn't just cave to any dessert. But because I had it in my head, this dessert's worth it. This is what I would like to really have. These are the things that aren't worth it. These aren't the things, you know, like this whole trip, the worst that I've done is overdrink the first night. Mm-hmm. I just got too excited being here. And that's okay, because when I think about my future self is not perfect. My future self is intentional. My future self is always learning about herself. Mm-hmm. My future self is someone who planned for the best and doesn't beat herself up if it doesn't happen. When you like, that is the purpose of creating the plan. So like for you, it's just going into Disney with, you know, like how much water do I wake up each morning to go walking first? Or am I going to count my Disney walks? You know, like whatever you want to do, it's just about being very intentional. And then each day, I think for me, bringing your planner is a good idea because there are important questions on there. Like each day, just remember your whys. Remember what you love about your life, why you're worth all this work. It's not about going to Disney and suffering and not eating. It's about going to Disney and changing the future version of you takes lots of vacations and doesn't come home feeling sorry for herself because she can't get back on plan.
Yes. Yep.
Okay. All right. Well, congratulations.
Thanks. You look
great in Disney.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. All of your help.
Everything.
Bye.
Bye. Just my turn. All right, Melissa, you're last. Y'all don't let me run over because I got a call right after this. What time is my next call start? In 30 minutes? I think it's in 30 minutes. So Yesenia is hooking all of you up. She is talking about all of the sheets. The eating out cheat sheet is in there. They are giving y'all all the little things. Let's see. For some reason, come on, Zoom. Let these ladies in. I'll answer a couple of Q&As because for some reason Zoom is, or maybe Melissa's not wanting to come on. We'll see what happens. Question about Queen's Club. Do I count from first finding Corinne for the first scale trip or the 2 weeks later when I paid for Nobius? The first pound you lost. I always say that Queen's Club is for anybody who's lost weight. I don't care if you lost it with me. I don't care if you lost it with somebody else. Weight loss is weight loss in my book. So I don't even care if you did it in Weight Watchers. You get into that Queen's Club. You earned your right to be there because you worked on yourself. That's the way I feel about it. All right, looks like Melissa does not want coaching, so that's okay. Let's see. What if you have lost the weight, almost 100 pounds since 2007, but still feel like a big person, as always have been known as having a large frame? So Linda, this is where you have to, this is the thought work that comes in. So what I would do, here's exactly what I would do, Linda. You've got to change how you think about yourself and how you talk about yourself. I've always been known as a large frame person. Don't ever say that ever again. You're just Linda. You don't need to be considered a large frame person by yourself anymore. I don't care if the world wants to call you that. You don't have to call yourself that. You get to just be Linda who lost 100 pounds. Linda who is in her new body. So I would first go through module 2 again of No BS. Really listen to the think, feel, do cycle, how thoughts and feelings and stuff work, and how our brains can change. Your outlook about yourself can change. All we have to do is we have to learn how to start telling ourselves something new about ourselves on purpose. Right now, what happens is we tell ourselves a lot of what we just call our automatic negative thinking. A lot of our old stories, and they just repeat and they just repeat and they just repeat, and that's okay. But in order to change them, what we have to do is we have to, on purpose, on paper, with our mouths, the way we talk to ourselves and the thoughts that we do catch, we have to be in our mental space, willing to redirect the thoughts, willing to change the conversation. We have to do that. And all of our brains, no matter how young or old we are, it's called neuroplasticity. They can be rewired. So it's not a problem if you think this way at all. It's a problem if you never do anything about it. That's when it's a problem. Automatic negative thinking is not the problem. It's the lack of wanting to work on it. It's sitting around thinking, I'm not going to change. It's like, that journaling sounds great, but it's not for me. Your brain is more likely to change the more you write and the more that you do that. Whatever is in your brain is nothing to be ashamed of. Whatever is in your brain is not a collection of what's wrong with you. It's none of that stuff. It is the sentences in your brain. It is the sentences of what goes on, what's been programmed when you were little, how you interpreted the world, like how you filtered things and explained things as a child before you really had a lot of adult reasoning that could offer a different story. So don't get caught up in when you're trying to journal that I'm like, well, I'm just afraid of what I'm going to see. Unless some of y'all are serial killers and I don't know it, don't be afraid of it. They're just the sentences. And the more you see them, the more you get to look at them objectively. So I like to think about when I write in my journal and then I kind of look at it, it's like I can use the reasoning part of my brain to objectively look at what I'm automatically thinking. it allows me the idea of being able to do a counter argument, to debate it, to wrestle with it, to think like, is that how I really want to view this? And it allows that part of my brain that has my future in mind, who I want to be, what I'm sick and tired of now, all of that side of my brain gets to look at what the automatic thinking is and then wrestle with it. That's the purpose of it. So module two first, Linda, then I would go through thoughts 2.0 next. And I would do the work of thoughts 2.0 and I would do it on your self-concept. Then the third thing I would do is then go through the self-love course. That would be a great one for you to then, like, once you really understand your thinking and you're starting to like plug in your level ups and all this other kind of stuff that we teach you in thoughts 2.0, then you can go through self-love, probably with a little bit more steam in your belly for it, because that will be talking about how we like unwind our stories and stuff. And it will really help if you have some of those like early work done. If you want a bonus, I would suggest that you do the book study this month with, this just depends on how much, like, I'm like a study nerd when it comes to self-development and myself. I'm going to listen to everything. Like, I'm like, there's hardly a day that goes by that I don't do an hour or more of some kind of self-development. So I listen to, like, I was in the shower listening to a class. When I'm at the poker table, I keep a book on my Kindle open and I just read in between hands. So I'm just really big on always putting into my brain lots of stuff. And I find self-development in the margins of life. Like, I'm not just sitting around on my big silk pillow, you know, self-developing because I'm the queen. So you want to look for those margins. But if you really want to like up your game one more level and go deep, do soundtracks this month. This is our quarterly book study with John Acuff and Yesenia. Really good book. Highly good for like all the things that we've said to ourselves over the years. This, he really breaks down the soundtracks of our life and how do we have new ones. So I think all of that would be great for you. And if you don't do the book study this month, what we do at the end is the book study materials are in there. You can go back and you can do the book studies anytime you want. We give you our own workbook that we do, the juicy quotes and all that kind of stuff. So, all right. That is it. We have no one else. So we are good to go. Losing 100, it was a privilege seeing you. This call will go into the main replays. So it's always there for all of us. And for some of you who are really struggling, like, you know, if you're really struggling with some stuff and you know, and it's not just like the weight loss is the, or your weight is the symptom of some things that you've really needed to work on for a long time, and you are afraid to do it by yourself, you always can look at the option of maybe hiring one of our private coaches. Coach Yesenia is one of them. You can go over there and check it out. If you go to nobswomen.com, we have a private coaching feature that a lot of people don't realize that we even offer here at NoBS. It's not for everybody, but sometimes you just need someone to just weekly walk you through some stuff so that you can get over a few things that are like really stumbling for you. A lot of people get coached on relationships and their past and things like that. So y'all have a good one. And if you're coming back in 24 minutes for coaching, I will be here. Talk to y'all later. Bye, y'all.